I'm Sandra, and I'm just the professional your small business was looking for. But you didn't hire me because you didn't use LinkedIn Jobs. LinkedIn has professionals you can't find anywhere else, including those who aren't actively looking for a new job, but might be open to the perfect role, like me.
In a given month, over 70% of LinkedIn users don't visit other leading job sites. So if you're not looking on LinkedIn, you'll miss out on great candidates, like Sandra. Start hiring professionals like a professional. Post your free job on linkedin.com/people today.
Hey, I'm Ryan Reynolds.
Recently, I asked Mint Mobile's legal team if big wireless companies are allowed to raise prices due to inflation. They said yes. And then when I asked if raising prices technically violates those onerous two-year contracts, they said, what the f*** are you talking about, you insane Hollywood ass f***?
So to recap, we're cutting the price of Mint Unlimited from $30 a month to just $15 a month.
Give it a try at mintmobile.com/switch.
$45 up front for 3 months plus taxes and fees. Promo rate for new customers for limited time. Unlimited more than 40 gigabytes per month. Slows full terms at mintmobile.com.
Hey, everybody. Welcome to the new and improved Wrestling Daily. What does this entail? We're about to tell you. So thank you, first of all, for joining us. I'm sorry I wasn't able to be here yesterday, but I have a job, damn it, a jib, as South Park might say. And I had to go to the Anthony Joshua workout with Alexander Usyk, but the rest of my week doesn't really clash. Like, the weigh-ins and the press conferences are all afternoon-based. So it was just that one where I had to speak to Eddie Hearn and a couple of fighters. So any boxing fans out there, that will interest you. If not, sorry, but again, I have to cover it. So thank you, SB3, for stepping into the breach. We've sat 2 days in a row yesterday. Did you smarten anybody up yesterday during the phone-in?
I did. I did make the announcement at the beginning of the show that this is the start of a new era for Wrestling Daily. Yeah. No more 60-minute Iron Man matches. We're going the 30-minute Broadway, kind of like what I predict for Bryan Danielson and Kenny Omega, which we'll get into later on in the show. But it is the Daily Boys Day, where we have a nice, compact 30 minutes where we're going to talk about the titular news. Then we can get right into the debate, some AEW Dynamite Grand Slam talk, but we are finishing up at around 8:30-ish. So ish. This is the new.
It's a 25-30 minute kind of deal. You know, WrestleTalk doesn't have anything like that at the moment. They've got the short, sharp stuff. They've got long form. So how about we're going to be the place. You can come and get the news. You can see the Daily Boys. And yes, you can get involved with us for a nice, intense half an hour's worth of action there or around. That's not to say we won't ever do longer shows, by the way. I'm sure we will when, like, the four of us are on or there is a special occasion to do so. Of course, we'll go long. This show hardly ever doesn't go long. But generally speaking, I think we're going to have to try and keep things compact so that people know where to get the news. SB3 is by my side as usual on a Wednesday. Brother, how are you?
I'm doing well. I have to deal with sick family tonight. So unfortunately, I'm not going to be live for Dynamite Grand Slam, which tears my heart apart. But I'm going to be like the rest of you, watching it from home and enjoying what's going to be an epic night. But I'm happy to be here on a Wednesday with you, Alex McCarthy, because you're my brother from an Irish mother. We can talk about Grand Slam just a few hours before it starts. We could talk about the titular news. And we got an interesting debate that ties into all of it, where we're going to be talking about the what we predict will be the biggest surprise from AEW Dynamite Grand Slam tonight, voted on by you, the good eggs of the Wrestling Daily community.
The greatest eggs, nonetheless. And while I'm at it, bam! Look at that! If you want to be a good egg, the merch is there. Wrestle Shop, I think it is. Or Wrestle Talk Shop. I don't even know what the link is, but you'll find
Wrestle
it.
Shop.
Wrestle Shop. There it is. Good egg. And of course, there's this shirt as well, which I love to work out in. Anyway, without casting that aside, while I look for the banner, which is right
great
here.
Great comment. We should have had like multicolor for the Wrestling Daily logo, so we could say Wrestling Daily 2.0. And I can change my name from, you know, SP3 to SB Fanatic or something outrageous, like not Rex Steiner, but Braun Breaker, something along those lines.
You know what my name should be?
What?
Irish Whip. I'm Irish, and I will whip that ass.
I love it.
Oh, no. Here comes Irish Whip. He's going for the finish. Oh, he bounced him against the ropes with such velocity. It's over. It has to be over. I'll tell you what. Irish Whip is my alter ego. There you go.
You're Irish Whip, and I'm Harlem Shake.
As Hale just says, two Ps.
Yep. Irish Whip and Harlem Shake. I'm Harlem Shake. Hey, so we're the perfect tag team here.
So when we hit our finish, you're like, the Harlem Shake comes out, like, that's what you're talking about.
Dude,
brother. Exactly. What a start to the new show. Before we get into the titular news, man, I just want to say, man, I had a busy week. So Monday, I would have maybe popped onto the show, but I was at the O2 enjoying my first wrestling show since Royal Rumble 2020. So like a good 19 months. I think is that right? 19?
Yeah.
No, it's more than that. Is it?
No, I think it's about
12 plus 9, 21 months. 21
months.
Is yeah, 21. Yeah. There you go. Man, it felt great to be back. I drank way too fucking much. Way too much. Like, I was too excited, SP3. But it was great. Saw some great people there. Me and Simon Miller hooked up in the flesh, which was a cool thing. There were plenty of different guys were in the building that I hadn't seen in such a long time in the rest of the scene. Me and Steph were together on the night. Benno was there. Louis Dangor was sitting with us as well. Like, it was just cool to kind of have the family, as it were, together. Like, me and Steph, we kept drinking after as well with my friend and Benno for a while. And I was like, it was like, I don't know. I got back into Hemel Hempstead, which is where I live, about 1:30.
I saw your Instagram and you were just like,
yeah. I was like, what am I doing? The next day, which was yesterday, the last thing I wanted to do was get up and go and do press stuff in London till, like, again, I didn't get home yesterday till 10 p.m. So, like, the last 2 days have nearly killed me, and don't ever do anything with a hangover is my advice. But that's what Irish Whip does. I love this from the variety vendor. Irish Whip. They'd call me, like, they'd call me, it'd be like Iris, wouldn't it? IRIS. That's what Iris Whip. There you go. Yeah. Lizzie loves it. So it was great though. Like, the show was great. Like, as many people saw on Twitter, like, as I was coming out of the, WWE put on like this little drink part for media and like VIPs and stuff before you come into the show. And I came out and Drew was just like, nearly naked. Like, he was like, oh, I'm lost. I was like, you definitely are. Like, we're just trying to walk to the show. And I had a beer in my hand and he was like, shall I? And I was like, I don't know, man. you can. He doesn't even drink anymore. I think he was just joking. But we both it out and off he went. It was, very funny. And yeah, man, the show was just class. For like a live event as well, like, for anyone who's never done them, they're very different energy and kind of feel to a TV. So I would highly recommend anyone does it. And obviously, they're back here in November. There was a few people who came up to me in the O2 as well, and they were like saying they're big fans either of this show or just my general Twitterness. I appreciated it, and I would love to see more of you in November, hopefully. I'll definitely be at the London show again. And I saw somebody earlier talking about me working UFC events. Can't find it now. Here it is. Johnny says, Alex, it was cool to hear you're working the UFC event. How can we find this coverage? I'm working the boxing this week. I'll be at the Tottenham Hotspur Stadium ringside, I believe, for Anthony Joshua to do my coverage. I was meant to be going to Fight Island on October 30th, but that's kind of like, at the moment, it's hanging in the balance because I might be going instead to New York a week later for UFC 268. The card is ridiculous for any fans of UFC. And I've never been to MSG. I would love to go to MSG, and I'd be in New York, so you know I'd have to hook it up with SB3.
Absolutely.
The Irish Harlem connection. I'd have to drop by, man. Mate, I'll try and get you a ticket. Shit, I don't know.
Yeah, I'll be down. I'll be down.
Yeah, that's my schedule. I'll be doing one or the other. I don't know which one it is yet, but yeah, so that'd be my UFC event towards the end of October. Look out for that. But otherwise, my coverage is always on TalkSport. Do you know what's mad about this show, SB3? Like, we're like halfway through already. It's ridiculous.
I'm Sandra, and I'm just the professional your small business was looking for. But you didn't hire me, because you didn't use LinkedIn Jobs. LinkedIn has professionals you can't find anywhere else, including those who aren't actively looking for a new job, but might be open to the perfect role, like me.
In a given month, over 70% of LinkedIn users don't visit other leading job sites. So if you're not looking on LinkedIn, you'll miss out on great candidates, like Sandra. Start hiring professionals like a professional. Post your free job on linkedin.com/people today.
Hey, I'm Ryan Reynolds.
Recently, I asked Mint Mobile's legal team if big wireless companies are allowed to raise prices due to inflation. They said yes. And then when I asked if raising prices technically violates those onerous two-year contracts, they said, what the f*** are you talking about, you insane Hollywood ass f-. So to recap, we're cutting the price of Mint Unlimited from $30 a month to just $15 a month.
Give it a try at mintmobile.com/switch.
$45 up front for 3 months plus taxes and fees. Promo rate for new customers for limited time. Unlimited more than 40 gigabytes per month. Slows full terms at mintmobile.com.
Mother's Day is around the corner. Find the perfect gift for the mom in your life with a stunning piece of jewelry from Blue Nile. From timeless pearls to dazzling gemstones, Blue Nile has something she'll adore. Need it fast? Most items can ship overnight. Plus, enjoy guaranteed free shipping and returns. Don't miss our special Mother's Day deals. Save big on the season's most beautiful trends. For a limited time, get up to 50% off by going to BlueNile.com. That's BlueNile.com.
Anyway, titular news, man. Tell the fine people what it's all about, because I feel like this invites a certain level of nastiness from fans. They're like, oh, good riddance, and it kind of makes me a little bit sad.
Yeah, it has to do with Nia Jax. If you saw Monday Night Raw this week, she had a matchup with Shayna Baszler. She lost via the Kyofuda clutch. And then after the match, they did an angle where Shayna Baszler ripped apart her arm, put her arm in the steel steps and stomped on it twice. And apparently that has been a way to write her off, as it was announced on WWE's Twitter today that she is basically going to be out of action for an undisclosed amount of time. So there's some people that are speculating this will be a way to repackage her, maybe have her return as a babyface, which she hasn't been since about 2018, which is very interesting. And it's a great way to kind of revitalize the character of Shayna Baszler. Like me and Sat were talking about yesterday on Wrestling Daily, it really felt like for the first time since Elimination Chamber 2020, like the Queen of Spades, Shayna Baszler, was back, and they really made her feel intimidating. So it was a good way to kind of, put a nice coat of paint on Shayna Baszler. But apparently it's been a way to kind of write off Nia Jax, which makes a lot of sense. The way she screamed was frightening. It was like, yeah, it really, she really sold it. Like she did break her arm and stuff. So I don't know how you feel about it, but I think that it's a right time to kind of keep her off television. It got pretty monotonous with how they booked her and Shayna Baszler's partnership, where they came together and they were kind of enemies. And then for the past, 2-3 months, they've kind of been like friends 1 week, friends not another week. Like it's been very confusing. Yeah. So it's the right time to kind of keep her off television. What about you, Alex?
Yeah, I say, look, Shayna Baszler, give her that push into the main event, because I know we'll get great matches. I want to see it. For Nia Jax, I don't know about the whole babyface thing. You know my thing for Nia Jax, and like, I mean this in the nicest possible way. I like her, I don't necessarily enjoy her wrestling style. I just don't think, you know, she's the greatest, or, you know, I don't want to be that guy that's like, oh, I don't think they're a safe worker, because who the hell am I to say that? I got no training. We can only go on like the incidents, but, you know, there aren't many Nia Jax classics in the back of my mind. And her last babyface run with Alexa Bliss, most people didn't enjoy the story of, you know, Alexa Bliss bullying Nia Jax for being fat, essentially. So, but when I watch Nia Jax on Instagram and, you know, like her general being, and I've interviewed her, I do think she's nice. I like her. She has character, and she actually is, you know, a charismatic kind of person. So if you can translate that to a babyface character, that would be cool. I just feel like to really get over, though, with a lot of the fans, you know, the work's got to be there too.
Yeah.
So there you go. That's just my two cents on the matter. I saw that Gatecrasher has popped up already saying, yeah, we're doing half an hour shows, spends 15 minutes talking about general life. Hey, look, the O2 show was worth mentioning. And Iris Whip. And Harlem Shake. That's a tag team you didn't know about. But, yeah, other than that, soz. But that was important information, brother. So I think for Nia Jax, being off TV won't hurt her, right? Like, she's been a constant for a while. They just need to find something that really brings out the best in her. She has the personality. I don't doubt that. I like her. Yeah. I just want the work to come up there too. I also want to bring up, while we're talking about women, Andrew Zarian tweeted something out not long ago, SB3, that there are rumblings of another title in AEW, and it's going to be a secondary women's title. Now, I find this very interesting because it's kind of groundbreaking in a major promotion, right? Like, WWE have never really flirted with this idea, despite the fact that they have a ton of women who could do it. I know Impact have had, obviously, you know, the tag titles for the women and stuff like that.
Yeah.
But this would be fresh, in my opinion.
Yeah, I would think that, because, you know, I kind of got from the tweet that it could be, you know, their version of a woman's tag team titles, which I think they do have. I think they do have a bunch of women's tag teams when you think about it, like TJ, Bunny and Penelope Ford, Kylie King and Red Velvet, Britt Baker and her squad. She could pick either Rebel or Jamie Hayter, you know,
or Sarah, or Rebel and Jamie.
Yeah, that too. Sarah Logan was backstage at All Out. We can get a Riot Squad kind of team with Sarah Logan. If she's ready to be the, you know, being that stay-at-home mom, she could come to AEW, and Sarah Logan and Ruby Soho could be another team there. You got Rio and Sheeta. So there's a bunch of women's tag teams that they have at their disposal, so they could definitely make it happen. But if it is like a secondary, like a woman's version of the TNT Championship, it makes a whole lot of sense. Because they did say they weren't going to change the name of the TNT Championship when they go to TBS in January, but they can have a TBS Championship and it be the woman's secondary title. And that's the kind of a way to kind of give like a structure, because there is a structure with the men's division of, you know, the guys that are going to kind of go after the TNT Championship, and you know, the guys in the upper echelon that are in the main event scene that can go after the AEW World Championship. Now you can kind of have that with the women's division, where there are a lot of women that, you know, although you would love to see them, you know, go after the Women's World Championship, there's only so many spots. And you know that, you know, Britt Baker versus Thunder Rosa is a match they're going to go back to. Right now, you got Britt Baker and Ruby Soho. You got, you know, Sheeta still hasn't got another title shot. Rio is a former champion. Big Swole mm-hmm. just picked up a big victory against Diamante. Of course, Nyla Rose is always in the conversation. But then you have the women like your Tay Conti's, like your Red Velvet. It's like the women that are on AEW Dark or AEW Dark Elevation that might not be able to get up to that Women's World Championship territory. The TBS Championship could be something interesting. So there's a bunch of different options they can go. But I do think that it's kind of flirting with oversaturation with titles, because if they are going to still bring in the Trios Championship, maybe that's a little too much, unless they are maybe this whole 2-hour rampage. Yes, it's a special for this week, but maybe that's where they want to go in the future and make it 2 hours on Friday night. And when you have 4 hours of television, then you kind of can separate the titles where this title is over, these titles are over here, these titles are over there. And potentially in the future, we could get a brand split of Dynamite and Rampage for AEW. There's a lot of interesting ways this can go.
Yeah, I mean, my kind of thing is, if it ain't broke, don't fix it. And I feel like, you know, I'm not saying don't introduce the titles, but, you know, too much might kind of mess with the dynamic. I do think they've got enough women, but also people still kind of moan from time to time that outside of the women's championship, there isn't too much going on. So,
yeah,
across all the shows, as long as it, you know, highlights and gives the women more stories and things like that, I would be cool with it. They had the NWA title for a long time showcased on TV, which is essentially what this would replace, I assume, if it was a secondary championship. So, you know, you look at women like Ty Conti and a few others, they would be perfect for that role where it's kind of like, you know, and I liken it to before there was two world titles in WWE. That's why the Intercontinental title meant so much, because it was like the next coming. It was like, okay, these are the guys who are on their way up and they're kind of one step away. Once it became WWE and World Heavyweight Championship, by about 2000, this wasn't instant, but by about the mid, late 2000s, 2010, 11, it was clear that the World Heavyweight Championship was more grooming who could eventually be the WWE champion. So it basically had just replaced Intercontinental in many ways, and then Intercontinental just kind of went, And then you got the US title. So it kind of just, but back in like the Attitude Era and a little bit before and a little bit after, the IC title meant a lot. It meant who was coming. And that, I feel like for the women's, that could work. That could work. They have a lot of women out there at the moment outside of the Britt Baker kind of, you know, circle, let's say, which I would include to be like Thunder Rosa and, I don't know, Jade Cargill in the near future, I guess. I'm just looking at the rankings and stuff, that you think, okay, well, there's a lot of women we could set aside and do more with and push them. And, you know, Red Velvet and people like that are in that mix. So, IC title being the work rate title, as people liken it to, but it also set the table for what was to come and main eventers more often than not. And I feel like that could do that with this too, where the women could do with another thing. It's just, again, how do you do it, right? How do you not crowbar it in, or, you know, what do you detract from the show that's going so well right now? I wouldn't be surprised if in the near future there was a 2-hour Rampage for sure.
Yeah, and like TNT Championship has kind of set a good precedent where they don't view it as a mid-card title. They view it as a secondary championship where, you know, it kind of is like how the Intercontinental Championship used to be, because I feel like, you know, Darby Allin's success as TNT champion has really propelled him to where his next step up is the AEW World Championship. Same thing with Miro right now as God's favorite champion. You can easily see him losing the TNT championship and getting himself right into the main event scene. Cody didn't have an opportunity at the AEW World Championship, so he wanted to make the TNT championship his own. And Brody Lee, he considered it one of the biggest accomplishments of his career, and he's also a former Intercontinental champion. So you could see that they are building a legacy with the TNT championship, and hopefully that can translate to the women's division and give them a purpose to have more than one woman's match, more than one woman's segment on Dynamite and Rampage.
Luke Harper, Dolph Ziggler, that a match. Watch it for the IC title. It's incredibly good. Moving along here, we do have an Ultra Chat. Remember, guys, you can do that too. You can get involved. Send Iris Whip and Harlem Shake your thoughts and get it on the show. Here we've got it from Erca 18, I'm going to say their name is E-R-C-E. Erce. I know it's a little while off now, but I've been daydreaming about Unsettling Differences playing an AEW show for a certain Owen Hart fan to debut. I assume we're talking about Kevin Owens here.
Yes.
I mean, listen, if you had Kevin Owens in the Owen Hart's Cup, that would be legitimately incredible way to do it. For anyone who doesn't know, Owens has taken his name because of his fandom for Owen Hart. His son is also named Owen, I believe, because of Owen Hart. He literally like adored him growing up. I feel like AEW would really get that symbolism and like have it come across well. You know what I mean? I mean, okay, let's say Kevin Owens' dream scenario. Thank you for the Ultra Chat. SB3, any thoughts on that? Or who you would like to see be the winner? I've seen a lot of people talk about Brian Pillman Jr.
Yeah, Anthony brought that up during the call-in yesterday, and I thought it was a great idea because you could. There's already been a section of the, you know, the social media fan base that's like, oh, please don't give this this trophy to MJF because MJF is ruthless on the mic, and God knows what he would say about being in the Owen Hart Memorial Cup, let alone winning the cup. But I think it presents a great opportunity where he's a great heel that Brian Pillman Jr. already has a established issue with and feud with. I think that MJF is going to win tonight at Grand Slam, and that can, you know, Brian Pillman Jr. going to the finals against MJF and beating him, you not only have a culmination of their little issue, but you have a great moment where someone that's closely connected to the Hart family, the Hart Foundation, his father training at the Hart Dungeon, him winning the trophy. I think when you look at the whole AEW landscape, he's kind of the person that makes the most sense. But there's guys like Daniel Garcia, Lee Moriarty that kind of fit what Owen Hart was in the ring, Dante Martin in a lot of ways as well. And then there's established talent like Brian Danielson or CM Punk that have that admiration for the Hart family. So they can't go wrong, but I would say on the roster right now, Brian Pillman Jr. in all of wrestling, definitely is Kevin Steen. The guy named his son after Owen Hart. Like, it just makes all the sense of the world. I put out the tweet on Monday when this announcement was made. I was like, Brian Danielson and CM Punk said they both credited how AEW handled the Brody Lee situation and then his passing and honoring him as one of the reasons why they signed with the company. All I could see is Kevin Steen like looking at AEW and Owen Hart Foundation like, hey boo.
Yeah.
Hey.
Yeah. No, you're not wrong. You're not wrong at all. I could see it. I personally think Owens is AEW bound. I'd be very surprised if he isn't. Of course, it's a while off though. Was it January? His contract's up, I think.
Yeah.
Or something like that. So I mean, Pillman Jr. isn't Canadian, but you don't have to be Canadian to win this. He does have the closest ties to the Hart family at this stage. Two ways. I'd like him to either beat MJF. Again, taking Kevin Steen out of the equation, I would like to see him beat MJF in the final because I think that would be a big win. Or he beats Jericho in the final. Because Jericho is someone who actually has a real history with the Hart family and the Dungeon and all of that. And I feel like that would be such a significant win for Brian Pillman Jr. and something that Jericho wouldn't need and would be happy to do. I think it'd be amazing. I really do.
Yeah. I could totally see Davey Boy Smith Jr. sitting in catering right now, punching air. Like, damn.
Got my name on it. We've only got a few minutes left here. This is the craziness of this show. And we're going to just do a quick debate on what we feel like will be the biggest surprise at the show tonight. Grand Slam, AEW, you know what it is on a Wednesday. SP3, what do you think is going to be the biggest showstopper?
I think there's a lot of potential surprises out there, but I think one that I haven't seen too many people mention is, you know, you got Malakai Black and Cody Rhodes tonight. I know a lot of people, you know, their heads are saying Cody Rhodes. Their heart wants Malakai Black to continue on the run that he's on. But we know how this Cody Rhodes storyline goes. He goes films. He loses in a squash. He goes films, go Big Show. He comes back and he wins some big blow-off match against his enemy. But I think a great way to continue the momentum for Malakai Black to, you know, have Cody have a new issue coming out of this, the debut of Buddy Matthews aligning with Malakai Black to form the House of Black. It gives AEW a new tag team. You can go off and, you know, build towards Full Gear where it's Buddy Matthews and Malakai Black versus the Rhodes Brothers. You give the Rhodes Brothers a reason to reunite with each other, and that's a great matchup to have on pay-per-view. So there's a lot of potential that comes out of that. And, you know, Buddy Matthews would be great and a main event star for Impact Wrestling if he went there. He can deliver great matches against the junior heavyweights and heavyweights in New Japan. But I just feel like this would be a perfect spot for him if he was to come to All Elite Wrestling.
You totally stole it, man. I that was my, if I had to pick a debut, I would have thought it was Buddy Matthews. Damn, that's really good. I mean, I didn't even thought though about the reuniting with the Rose Brothers and stuff. That'd be very cool. I think my prediction is that Daniel Bryan wins. Bryan Danielson wins, even. That's my kind of surprising prediction. Because it'll be a legitimate way for AEW to kind of go, well, now we can give you the real kind of title match on pay-per-view. Now, this isn't a thing that AEW would typically do, and I would not be surprised if it didn't happen. I'm just saying, if we're thinking about surprises, Daniel Bryan's first match in AEW, I don't think it's going to be the last time he faces Kenny Omega. I just have a nagging, perhaps WWE-conditioned mind that tells me maybe Bryan picks up the win. There's so many, again, AEW aren't massive on, like, you know, overbooked finishes and all things like that. So I don't want to get into, maybe this will, whatever. But Hangman Page could come back.
Yes. That's a big Hangman surprise.
Could come back. And then that plays a role in how things shake out. And Daniel Bryan doesn't have to win in that situation. But either way, it gets us back on the road to Hangman Page and Omega. And I still believe Page is the guy. Page is going to be the guy to dethrone Kenny. And then you can have Bryan Danielson and Kenny Omega doing whatever. Or we've spoken about this before. Kenny Omega branching off and eventually the Adam Cole and the infighting. I think there's a lot you can do. So I think it's a combination of, I think Bryan Danielson might win, but mostly I think Hangman Page is maybe going to make a return. You know, the other thing I want to say on what you said about House of Black, I would love to see that stable expanded. Like, I always thought that Malakai Black was so creative. I want to see him actually have the chance to extend that beyond us just going, yeah, he's really creative because he says stuff. You know what I mean? I want him to get him the reins loose and let's see what he can do with that. So I'm not one of those people that go, oh, too many stables. You're not me. Not this guy. You'll I'm never okay get Irish whip saying that. Yeah, I like it. Like, it to me, at what point does it become too much? Because it creates so much fresh, interesting rivalries and matches week upon week because you've got the layers and the rivalries. I haven't got to a point yet where I'm like, man, it's just too many. So give me House of Black. Give it to me. With that, SP3, we've got to wind down. But we do have a last-minute Ultra Chat. From Justin Johnson, says, just want to show love to my good brother, Alex, and I guess SP3 also.
That is Top Guy JJ of True Hill Heat. Right there. That's, in a nutshell, that's usually how he works.
Yeah. I mean, Justin Johnson, I like it. He's gone government on us. I like it. What a good egg he is. What a good egg. Yes. SP3, man, thank you so much for let me prise you away from your sick family for 30 minutes to come and talk nonsense with me. I'm sure we all appreciate it here in the chat. What can people expect from True Hill Heat moving forward this week, brother?
We got one of our biggest special guests on Saturday, 11:05 a.m. Eastern Time, 4:05 p.m. UK. Alex McCarthy is one of the other bigger ones that we've had on in the last couple of weeks. We had Jarrett Bailey of Sports Illustrated, Justin Clapper of Wrestling Travel last week. This week, we got four-time Emmy Award winner Chris Van Vliet on True Hill Heat 144. So join us, subscribe to the YouTube channel. We're doing a live watch along for Grand Slam tonight. So a lot from True Hill Heat coming up this week.
Awesome. Same for us here. I will let you in on who will be the special guest this Friday coming shortly. John Alba was great last week. Thank you for all that joined that. And of course, I'll be back tomorrow with Steph Chase to talk all things Grand Slam in a compact fashion. Thank you for your support, guys. Please take care of yourselves. Enjoy the wrestling, and we will see you tomorrow on Wrestling Daily. Bye-bye.